Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome to Homeschool Companion. I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin, and here with me is Kathy Jackson, our resident homeschooling mom.
Well, kids, I think we're going to finish our book today. We're reading Bickie's Cow College, and we ended last week where Tommy had come to visit his brother Bickie as a surprise.
Tommy told all the things he had done that day. His eyes sparkled and he danced with delight. Bickie knew that he could never bear to have Tommy go back to Center State and Mother at the end of the week. No, he just couldn't. But the days hurried by and Sunday came when Sam Drake must go back to Center State, and he took Tommy with him. And as they rode by the herding ground, Tommy in his new red outfit stood up in the buggy and waved to Bickie as long as he could see him.
Glad to have you.
Again, Bickie started down the Edenville Road, past the herding ground, and now brown and deserted, past the pump where he had worked so hard watering the 40 cows. He raised his eyes to the Nelson farm, to the orchard where he and Jim had slept, and to the meadow where a forsaken rabbit trap sat low in the withered grass. He came to the little bridge where Hod had overturned his load of oats, and it was near here that he had captured Zeke Lager's team of runaway horses. Close by was the place of the broken wagon wheel and the cattle, the hailstorm, the fast ride on the tank wagon behind the five splendid but maddened horses. All these crowded into Bickie's memory, but today he was leaving them all behind. He was on his way back home to Mother. By mid-morning, he had reached Edenville, a pretty little town, and as he trudged through its main street, there was no place open but a restaurant. A man in front of it called to him,
"Have you got eggs in that bag?"
Bickie smiled and said,
"No."
He hurried along through the park with the big Liberty pole and then out into the country again and over the same road that he had traveled 3 months before. It seemed like 3 years. Would Mother be the same? Would her hair be gray now? What would she look like? Bickie shifted the weight of the carpet bag from one hand to the other. The September sun warmed him as he trudged along mile after mile. But the browning land was beautiful, and the sky glorious. Even the trees spread colored leaves against the blue sky. The world was lovely. Now there were signs on the broad fences. They advertised many things painted in white and red words. Brimhole Brothers Drugs, a top board said, and the board below read, State Center, Iowa. Again he read, Bunning and Gray Grocery, State Center, Iowa. The thing that looked good to Bickie was the State Center, Iowa. He knew that every step was bringing him closer to Mother. The town of State Center had never looked so imposing as it did that afternoon, and the church towered in magnificence beside the road. Bickie walked straighter through town and out to the little house with the yellow rose vine over the porch. It would not bloom again until next spring, and there was Mother standing in the door.
And she looked exactly the same as when he had left her so long ago. "Mother! Mother!"
Bickie felt himself gathered into warm arms.
And the smell of Mother's hair and the softness of her throat lay against his cheek. "Mother, I'm home!" After a little while, Bickie opened his carpet bag and drew out all his birthday presents and spread them out for Mother to see. He reached into the hood of his raincoat and took out first the 10 silver dollars. He dropped them one by one in Mother's hand. Then he took out the 3 $10 bills and the 3 $1 bills and the dime, and he laid these in Mother's hand. And last of all, he handed her the envelope with the $2 of shoe money from the Nelsons. In all, it was $45.10. "Mother," Bickie said, "it's all yours, and I want you to buy a new sewing machine, just like the one Pete's mother has, so you won't have to work so hard anymore." Mother kissed him and told him he was a noble boy, almost a man now. That night, Bicky slept with Tommy in their old room, and the next morning he wakened to the sound of Mother singing. So it came about, in the autumn of 1882, a new sewing machine came to the Ross home in State Center, Iowa, and whenever Bicky stood and watched Mother sew and saw that satisfied smile on her face, he remembered the hurting ground and the lonely days and nights, the long hours and the many adventures, and he knew that he would do it all over again, for it was worth the best of a man's time and strength to put a look like that on his mother's face. The end. We finished it, and I just cannot imagine sending my 11-year-old child walking 12 miles home.
I can't either, but you know, that was back in the 1880s. Yep. Well, young people, we hope to have another great classic to bring to you next week. We just have to look in our library here and see what it is. So we'll
find something till next time.
That's right. Okay, well, we are talking with John and Dorla Schlitt.
Yes.
And John and Dorla are going to share with us their journey leading up to what we really are going to talk about, which is your latest album. But we first would like to get a little history of how God has led you. And how long have you been married?
Almost 40 years.
Almost 40 years.
Yes, 39 and a half, actually. August 28th will be the 40th.
Both very involved in our school, and went on to college. We kind of grew up together.
Love at first
sight. We've grown a lot.
Or you just kind of grew into it?
I'd say love at first sight when we finally grew up to realize it. I mean, really, she was a year younger than me, so up till me becoming a sophomore in high school, that was, didn't look, they're younger. But all of a sudden, when you're in high school, younger is actually very cool. And so I saw the best-looking, finest lady in the high school, and I ventured that direction and was blessed even back then to get her attention and tried to keep it ever since.
And were you both Christians at that point?
Absolutely not. Now, did I believe in God? Absolutely, yes, but that's another story. I won't speak for her because, personally, I think she's always been an angel, but as far as being totally devoted to Christ, no, that was another part of the story.
Now, you started singing at a very young age. Mm-hmm. Do you remember when you started, or has it kind of
Absolutely.
Always been part of your life?
It's always been part of my life, but I can remember back when I was in kindergarten realizing that I must be something good in music because I got straight S pluses. And I know that sounds weird, but it's one of those, you know, when you're at this stage of life, you start thinking, why am I who I am, you know?
Yes.
And so I think that was the first recognition that I might be have something to do with music. And then it totally dropped, and I went, you know, I was into sports and go-karts and whatever was interesting at the time. And then music came along when one of my friends started playing guitar, learning how to play guitar, and I went in his room. I saw his guitar. I said, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm learning how to play guitar." I said, "That sounds cool." So to keep up with him, I took up guitar, and then it just sort of skyrocketed from there. I mean, I was about 13 at the time, and I learned about three chords, and that was enough for us to start a band. And back then, the music was about three chords, and that's all you needed. And all through high school, I did that as actually grade school and high school. We started working on a band. I started putting one together, and I ended up happened to be the one who showed everybody else their parts because I think I was more committed to it. And when I graduated from high school, by that time, we had a pretty good band. And but when I graduated high school, I went to college as an astronautical engineer, and I thought music was going to end there. My freshman year, I really concentrated on school, probably more devoted to school than I've ever been, and did okay. Then I discovered music again during the summer break between my freshman and sophomore year. Got into a band called Head East, and that was then music became a little more serious than I wanted it to be.
Now, when did you finally marry Dorla?
That was between my junior year and senior year of college.
So you went to the same college, mm-hmm. and just kept.
Yeah, well, we went together for 6 years very seriously before we got married. So she's been part of my life, three-fourths of my life. Yeah.
Now, Dorla, when did you become a Christian?
I became a Christian in 1980. I grew up in the church, and I believed in God, and I was well taught in Bible stories and what the Bible was about, but I really didn't know Christ. Mm-hmm. And really didn't realize what salvation really meant and that he truly was real to me until 1980.
So as you began this journey together, you've gotten a degree in engineering, mm-hmm. civil engineering, you're married, mm-hmm. The music is beginning to play a more important role in your life. Were you able to sidestep the culture that tends to go with the music?
No.
So tell us a little bit about those years.
Well, because I was so blessed to find the right lady, she was the stability of our family, while I was the perfect stereotype of a rocker who cared less except for himself. Mm. And for some reason, God put in her heart enough strength to put up with that. And meanwhile, we have two kids, our daughter and our son. And in 1980, she got saved in the beginning of 80, and I got saved August 29th of 1980. It took a little more for me. I had to get fired from my band.
And why did they fire you?
Because I was a coked out alcoholic by that time. I had pretty much fallen. When I first started music, I went with the intentions of, because I came from such a small town and I had good upbringing, I was never going to get involved with drugs or I didn't think I'd ever had any problem with alcohol because I was a bartender during my school years when I, and it was no problem. It was just a nice way to make money and go to school. So I didn't think I'd ever have any problems. But once you join, once you get into the world that has nothing to do with Christ, if you're not a Christian, you're fair game. And I fell for it. And I, in a very short time period, about 3 years, I really was very hooked on coke. And the alcohol was very commonplace.
How old were you at that time?
I started with coke about 27, and
you were 27 years old.
Mm-hmm. And when I got fired, I was almost 30.
You know, we often think that if you can get through the teens and the early 20s,
oh, no, I was very,
you're then going to be immune from it.
No, I walked a very straight path. I had very good upbringing. As we said, mm-hmm. we came from a little town, and my parents were very good parents. My mom was a Catholic, my dad was a Lutheran, so church in our family was actually a battleground to a point where they finally said, it's splitting up our family, you choose what church you want to go to when you're old enough, and which meant for me, I just didn't go to church. Did I believe in God? Absolutely. But that's another story. Did I pray every night? Absolutely. Did I have concerns that only God could answer? Yes. But did I know Christ? No. He was just another name in the Bible that I didn't read. It's that almost that American, yes, I'm American, so I must be a Christian type of thing.
Yeah.
And it's not. It's not what we're talking about. But in August of 1980, I came very close to suicide because of how my life had led up. Had a beautiful family, put them last. The only thing that was important to me was my booze and my drugs and my fame. Did I love my family? Yes. Were they in the order they needed to be? No. But I tell you what, when all of a sudden the band's gone, the drugs are harder to come by, you lie yourself all this time in rock and roll saying, Coke's the perfect drug, you don't get hooked on it. Beer is the perfect alcohol because you can't become an alcoholic on it. And then all of a sudden when everything's gone, you can't give it out, apparently you are hooked on it. And so I went on a six-month binge after leaving Head East, which was the secular band I was in, and went on a binge with the excuse that I was building a new band, and basically it was just an excuse to stay high or drunk for 6 months, almost 24 hours a day. And at the end of that, actually the morning after our anniversary, our ninth anniversary, I had missed the anniversary celebration we were going to have because I got drunk and couldn't find Coke to stay sober and passed out on the couch, and she just let me lay there. And by this time, she was a Christian. She'd become a Christian 6 months before that. And she became a Christian. I went on a binge. It was quite that 6 month battle. That was quite a battle zone because she'd come home all happy and come home from church or Bible study, and I come home from my depression of rehearsal that wasn't going good enough, and it was seeing the opposites of the pole, Christian, non-Christian, joy. Total insane depression. And so when I woke up on the 29th of August of 1980, my son was looking at me he was 1 year old at the time, looking at me. I had a terrible hangover, and all of a sudden I looked at him and I saw him looking at me like, who are you? Why are you at this couch? And I always had a big dread of I always saw myself as two or three people. The guy on stage, the animal, and then I come home as the father and the husband. And I felt like my son was seeing the animal. It finally came home, and I said, that's it. And all of a sudden, a little voice goes, you're worth more dead than alive. And that was like the final straw. It was like, yeah, that's very true. Good idea. Sat in my chair saying, okay, how am I going to end it? Already had it planned out. My wife comes up at this time and says, remember, you promised you'd come and talk to my pastor tonight. And I said, when did I do that? And she goes, last night when you were drunk. And I can't argue with that. So I said, okay, fine. I went there to that pastor's house that night just to let her remember that I tried, because I still had full intentions of ending my life. And I got saved. And that was the beginning of a whole new life for me.
As you're talking, I'm thinking it must have been 6 months of a great controversy between good and evil in your home.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was.
Lots of prayer.
How did you navigate, Dorla?
Yeah, she's the one you need to ask because I was in the zone.
Well, when it comes right down to it, it was God's grace, because it was just a lot of turmoil. But I had such a joy from the Lord when I received him that, and I had a supportive church that I was going to, and they all knew our story. And so they were all praying for him. It was a very exciting time because we had full faith that he was going to come to the Lord. It was just a matter of when,
Yeah.
And actually 6 months really isn't very long to wait. Wait years. So it was an exciting time to see God. He provided for
did
us.
Did you ever
when
think
we were...
of leaving him or divorcing him?
No, I really didn't.
You were committed to your vows, for better or for worse.
I was. We were. We knew each other well, and I knew him as who he was, not who he was
you
at that is at that
pretty
time.
Shocked. When he started spiraling down.
Yes, because actually he had kept quite a bit of his other life secret, so I didn't really
know how bad it was.
No, she was a very trusting babe, and I was two people. The guy that was on the road was that way because he survived that way. That was what was expected. And I'm hoping that maybe the guy that came home really was the guy. But the guy on the road started coming home, and that wasn't cool.
Now, when you were saved, did the addiction just vanish?
The cocaine, that was a miracle. If anyone that's ever been into coke knows that it's not easy to give, it went instantly. Did I get tempted later? Yes, I did. Did I fall a little bit? But nothing compared to what it was. And it went, and once it did, God convicted me so much. It was actually very cool. It was like, oh, ew.
Yeah.
And whenever someone talks about it, all I remember is that, yeah. And that's so neat. I love that. Because there's no pleasant memories left,
yeah.
You know. And now the alcohol, it took a while. In fact, the pastor prayed over me. We got baptized. That night we prayed over addictions and stuff, and I wouldn't give up alcohol. Finally, actually it was beer at this time. I said, you don't want to give up beer, do you? I said, no, I don't. And said, well, and the pastor's wisdom says, it'll leave in
God's time.
God will
take care of it.
God will take care of it. And it wasn't any big deal to the church. And it was so cool because it was, if nothing else, it showed me becoming a Christian isn't all the things you have to give up. It's all the things you receive. And the way the alcohol left me was just so cool that it's a testimony to anyone. I mean, anytime I hear someone, well, I just don't want to go. I said, you don't need to.
Yeah.
You don't need
to.
It'll leave in God's timing because you won't want it.
Yeah.
And it's so cool to say that. Mm-hmm. And I totally realized it. And once you can talk all day long, you'd be taught something all day long. But when you realize it in your heart, it's like, mm-hmm. whoa,
yeah.
That is so cool.
So then what happened with your music career? I
gave it up totally. In fact, we had a great big meeting. We still had a secular band, you know, the band that I was putting together for that six-month period. And by this time, I had a manager and a booking agent. One was in Detroit, another one's in Minnesota. And I made the announcement, I just can't do this. In fact, as a Christian, I tried to go out and play. And, oh, my gosh, wrong. A baby Christian does not need to be in a secular music system at the time. Am I saying all Christians need to be out of secular? No. But a baby Christian needs to be as far away from secular music as he can be for a while. At least for me. I only speak for mm-hmm. myself. And I was right in the middle, and oh my gosh, the enemy used that against me. I would come home feeling like dirt every time because I was not a strong Christian yet. So I'd have to come home, and the church, God bless them, and babe would be there. Let's pray. We understand. And finally got to a point where she just couldn't handle it anymore. It's like, John, what are you doing to yourself? So we had a big meeting because I announced I was quitting. And so everyone that's part of my life, part of hers, came, my father, my mother, my uncle and aunt, her mom and dad. I mean, anyone that had anything to do with us was there. Management, booking, it was so funny.
Wow.
And I mean, they,
around the table.
Yeah, around this great big table. And basically, just so I could say, guys, I'm done. And they spent, an hour and a half convincing me I should. John, you don't know how much you have coming. We got three record labels ready to sign you. Just give it another month and blah, 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 blah. And I started to cave in, and she comes over and taps me on the shoulder. John, here's how it is. Music or me? And it was like I looked at her and I said, oh, thank you. Okay, you heard it. It's done. We're done. And I just got up. We're over. And everybody's going, their mouths wide open. I couldn't believe that I was. My uncle says, you know, you can't give up rock and roll. You can't give up rock. Well, yes, I can. And
well, of course, and now we're talking about your latest album. So how did you get back into the Christian music?
Oh, there's a big difference between secular rock and Christian rock. Trust me. I'll tell you what, and a lot of people ask me this, you know, what's the difference? Well, I'll tell you the difference is in secular rock, you're glorifying yourself. In Christian rock, you're glorifying the Lord. Or that's the option. That is the goal. And all that you can only get it through johnwschlitt.com.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. We're concluding the show, and I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
Thank you so much. What a beautiful way to end. God bless you too.